You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, to present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 9. Today's show is Removing Emotions from Decisions. My name is Adam John. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Merrill. How are you today?
Good, buddy. Good. How you doing?
I'm very good. What's going on?
Not much, actually. Just down in Australia. Actually, doing quite well with the new first sales push. So our sales guy started on Monday. And he's already had a lot of interaction and demonstrations with a lot of potential customers. So it looks like we're going to exceed all forecasts and expectations a lot quicker than we first anticipated, which is great.
Beautiful. And is he tapping into his personal networks or are you going out after with leads and everything along those lines?
Yeah, he's gone into his personal network first and foremost, but he's actually done a bit of a referral, which we covered in episode 8 last episode, where he's actually reached out to, similar to LinkedIn, where you've got your second connection. So he's looking at the second level of his first round network. So he's going to his first round network, and then based off his reputation, he's asked for that next level down.
Beautiful.
So it's gone quite well, and it's been well received. But what about yourself, mate? What's going on?
Yeah, we're in full sales mode with one of our companies at the moment, so I feel what you're going through there. Been a little bit fatigued this week. I've just been going probably a little bit too hard, so probably just need to take a couple of days just to back off a little bit. I noticed that I do my 4x4x4, which is 4 hours of play, 4 hours of work, and then 4 hours of personal time. And I've sort of been extending that to the weekends as well. So that means I've just been working 7 days straight, in essence, only for 4 hours most days. But I think it's beginning to catch up with me a little bit. So I think I'll take a couple of days down and just recharge the batteries a little bit.
Siesta time.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about removing emotions from decisions. So we're all emotional creatures, and this is what separates us from the computers. And in essence, this is what makes us human. They drive every decision we make, sometimes good, sometimes bad. Emotions come into every facet of our business. They come into all departments of the business. So in sales, we need them to elevate emotions in our buyers. In customer support, we might need to diffuse a situation from an irate customer. And in accounting, the accounting department is generally the only one where emotions don't come in. And everything is pretty cut and dry with the numbers. And that's why they pretty much say that most accountants don't really have much of a personality, which is no offense to the accountants out there, but they go by the numbers and not by the emotions, which is what people like you and I love.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because it's non-biased. They don't say, well, I have a gut feel. It says the numbers and figures actually say this.
Yeah, and it doesn't lie. The numbers don't lie. We hear that a lot. So part of being a great leader is dealing with conflict, making tough decisions, and doing what is best for the company, even if that means putting your emotions aside. So essentially today we're looking at flying off the handle, and we've all done it. So making bad decisions when we're highly emotional and the consequences of such actions.
What's an example of that?
Let's assume that we're doing well in business and we're shopping for a new office. We want to upgrade the office. We go out, we look at a number of offices. Maybe there's some cheap ones, maybe there's some expensive ones, but there's always that more expensive office that comes along from the real estate agent. And that always has the best views, lots of car spaces. It's the best location and it sparks your emotion right up. And of course, it's going to be a little bit outside your budget, but you sit there and say, oh, geez, you know, this is the office for us. This is when I shut my eyes, this is the office I envision. The thing is, we're going to have to make a few more sales to be able to do it, but that's cool. We'll just pump the sales a little bit harder and we'll be able to pay for this over, you know, the 6 year or 10 year lease or whatever we have. And this is where the problem gets started. The sales might not be on the way and you might be putting your company in jeopardy by making such commitments. So, you know, when you start overstretching things based on emotional decisions like that, you work your staff harder, you might work them late, could lead to them being unhappy and churning, it could hurt your culture. So by making bad decisions, that can filter through to all areas of your business. Sometimes by just using your emotions in there, instead of going by the numbers, you create problems out of nothing. So in this episode, we'll assist you in avoiding such problems.
Yeah, and it's something that so many people can fall into so quick and so easily without even realizing that they're falling into it. A very similar one that a lot of people can attest to when they were growing up is the honeymoon period within a relationship, right? Where your emotions are all up and you're not thinking clearly and you potentially might get into a relationship with somebody that you probably just don't work that well with. However, your emotions were spiked and you thought that that would be the best idea, but in the long run, it's actually not. So jumping into the show, if anybody's got any questions or feedback or any interaction they want to have with us, just jump onto their Facebook, which is www.facebook.com/moretimemoreprofit, or jump onto moretimemoreprofit.com's website and ask any questions that you might have that relate to this episode.
Beautiful. So can you take us through the steps in removing emotions from our decisions?
Yeah, so I think this topic is quite an awesome but deep topic on the basis that everybody can relate to it as long as they have the ability to really step back and look at themselves. So I think every entrepreneur get it when they start to grow and having situations that are out of their control, situations they can't really prevent like they could when they're a one-man band, or even showing chinks in the armor of their grand plan that they had. Running through the More Time, More Profit Emotionless Decision Framework, or the EDM framework, there are a couple of points that we run through to actually work to a great outcome by removing the emotions from it. Step 1 out of 6 is when you start feeling the emotion. Now, this seems a little bit difficult to just say, I feel like I'm full of rage, I'm not being myself, or I'm not really thinking clearly. But as a business owner, you have to rise above and do the 50,000 foot view of your business before you even make a decision. So you have to feel those emotions coming. Then the second that you feel the emotions, don't make a decision on it, right? So take a break. Stop, take a big breath in, put the answer on hold if the person's like on the phone or right in front of you, and just say, look, I can't answer that now. Stop what you're doing. So if you're looking at responding to the email or anything, stop what you're doing. Be polite and just say, I need some time to clarify this and make up an excuse if you need to or justify it. And just stop for 5 minutes before you go and give an answer based on emotions. Step 3, step back from the situation and look at it from a strictly business perspective. And that sounds weird when you have so many human elements with emotions in business, from employees to customers, etc. But you really need to step back and realize that they're not actually attacking you as an individual, typically. And they're usually thinking about themselves. So going back to what you were talking about, Adam, for employees or customers and things like that, when they're pushing back on you, it's not usually a direct attack at yourself. It's more an attack at the situation, and the only person they can try and retaliate to is the individual they're talking to. And so by stepping back, you can actually start looking at it. Are they just thinking about themselves, or is it the situation they're relating to? Or could it be a miscommunication? Have you misunderstood it?
I think we take it as a personal attack simply because it's our business and no one else is going to love our business as much as we do. So, you know, we go out and we build these businesses from the ground up, and then any obstacle we get in their way or someone puts a barrier up, we sort of take that personally. Whereas their motives might not be personal, but we're going to take on things a lot more personally than, you know, our staff, because we're actually the owners of the business.
Exactly. And so when we step back, the next step that we should take is looking at the metrics and analytics of anything. And that can be from someone who's upset at some interaction they've had with the business, or an employee who feels they haven't been treated adequately. There's always metrics and analytics that relate to what it is. So what's the potential outcome they're trying to achieve and you're trying to achieve as a business owner? What's the probability of it happening? And also, what has caused it? What metrics or analytics or data or anything has actually caused those in a sequence of events? The second last point, which is step 5, is closely research every decision. So you look into the outcome that has got them to your desk complaining about something, or a customer talking about an interaction they've had, and you look at the decisions that you have. You interact with your other employees to say, hey, is this the best approach for it? You look at management, who have probably had more experience, maybe some mentors, maybe you might even bring on a consultant if it's something that consistently is happening. So you have employees consistently complaining about the same thing over and over again. So you start researching all of these different decisions from all these different areas. By that point, you've seen your analytics and metrics and data. You've taken yourself to and reviewed it at a business perspective, but you've also seen and researched other decisions that you could be making. So you're ready and assessed and actually going to be able to push an appropriate decision and communicate it in a clear, concise manner. So when you provide the solution, you provide an outcome or a resolution to the situation rather than just an answer like, yes, this is what I'm going to do. You walk them through the journey and the outcome that it's going to mean. And you don't stray away from the answer that you've sort of sought. You've analyzed everything. So what you're going to be pushing forwards is exactly what you need. So it's rare to have sort of this situation where it's really easy to implement yourself, but it is a situation that you do need to always rise above emotion before you go and put anything into your business.
Beautiful. And I'll put on top of that that a lot of tension or a lot of emotions come around when you're dealing with money and making purchases, both in your personal life and your business life, and also when we feel let down or disrespected when things don't go the way that we'd like them to. If we want to jump onto the show notes, we go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/009, and we'll be able to download everything in today's show from there.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so they can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few. But have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems? Like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Carpet VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way. The first week free. But honestly, bit of a nervous Nelly, and I'm still concerned, is there going to be across the other side of the world?
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show, the More Time, More Profit podcast.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. Let's jump into an experience where yourself, Adam, you've actually applied the More Time, More Profit emotionless decision-making framework.
Oh, Jesus, buddy. This is what I call the mutiny story. So this is a time in my business where we were growing rapidly. We were in new offices. We had new staff. We had new managers. We were just going through this big boom in where we were trying to get in trying to boost the company. And everything was just happening at once. And I walked into the office one day and I thought everything was going absolutely swimmingly. And I found out that everyone was really unhappy. I found out that the managers were struggling with staff. I found that the staff were struggling with the new managers. Everything was an absolute mess. And to the point where people were actually talking about upping tools and just walking out and leaving and things like that. So we had a problem. And the actual problem was that my personal assistant, who I trusted, was starting wars within the actual company. She was segregating teams. She was sharing confidential information. She was going out there saying, this manager makes this much money for a bonus and we're not getting any of that bonus. We should rise up. Generally creating all types of chaos and poisoning my team. Right? So this is a person who was, she was my personal assistant. And she was there to represent me when I wasn't in the office.
So this is more of a situation where it wasn't so much that she came to you with large emotions and trying to sort of get a rise out of you. It was more that you've found all this out and you're the one who's got to manage your own emotions now based on what you found out.
I'm managing my emotions right here, which we'll get right into. So I felt completely disrespected by this one person. As I said, she represented me. I gave her additional bonuses. You know, I kept her really close to me. I wanted to look after her when she come and I hired her. I said, how much do you want? I said, okay, that's great. I'll give you an extra 20% on top of that because I want to make you happy. I want to make this work. And the other thing is I turned down other people that were really, really suited to that job as well. So I'd have to go out and start recruiting and things like that. So I found out that this girl was poisoning my team and, oh, geez, the rage started to build. You know, that vein in my head started to pulse. And the only thing for stopping me from reaching across the desk and strangling her was an episode of CSI, because we know in CSI, you know, you never get away with murder. That's how enraged I was. So if we look at point one, feeling the emotions, I mean, everyone's had this. Maybe you've been in a fight with your partner. Maybe you've been in a fight with a staff member or someone's pressed your buttons. We just talk about that rage in point one. So the first thing to do that we talk about is just taking a break. So I found this out and I was just enraged. I took a break, just took 24 hours to think about it, went to the gym, punched it out on the punching bag, just worked it out on the dumbbells, and just tried to work it out of my system a little bit, because previously in business, I would just fly off the handle and I would just do the first thing that made me react, and it wasn't always the best decision.
Yeah, exactly.
So the next day we'd jump into it, which is point three. I'd look at it from strictly a business perspective. It is what it is. It's happened, okay? I can't change anything. I had to put aside my emotions. And how does this affect the business? Well, it's hurting our culture. It's hurting our productivity. It's wasting my time. I have to sit down here and go through all this. Instead of trying to take the company forward, it feels like I'm going backwards to try and fix this problem, which made me even angrier. And we just need to fix it, and it's something that needed to be done. If we look at point number four, metrics and analytics, I went in and I had to make sure that the claims that were made were actually true. So I had to re-interview all the staff. I had to look for similar stories and what people – you got to remember, I've got all these staff members and everyone's just throwing grenades at everyone else. I had to actually literally go in and I found out what the actual problem is, but I actually had to get evidence about that where you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I had to just find more evidence to support the claims. If you look at point number five, I had to closely research my decision. So this is what I did. The first initial emotion was I want to sack this person. And even when I went through the first four steps, I still come to the conclusion that this person was poisoning my entire team and they had to go. Now, I could have fired them on the spot, or I did what I did next is I went straight to my lawyer. She had tenure, and this was in a company overseas, which means that once someone has tenure, you can't just walk in and sack them. It means they pretty much have a job for life unless you can prove otherwise. You have to make them redundant, or you have to prove neglect or something along those lines. So we had to go through and prove that she was actually poisoning the team. If I just marched her out the door, there would have been consequences to that. I could have been up for unfair dismissal claims, could have cost me a lot of money. So I needed to gather further evidence and I needed to put that plan in place. So the great thing about that was I started working with the lawyer. I didn't just say get out. I just put this little, it wasn't a sneaky plan. It was just a really nice, cool, calm and collective attitude that I put across the whole thing and just brought it all together. In step number six, the lawyer came into my office. Okay, so step number six was, make and communicate a clear, concise decision. I made that decision, got the lawyer into the office. I made sure a third party was there. So the lawyer actually came into my office. Now, she could have come to me and said, look, we're locked in the same office together. This guy touched me or abused me or did something like this. I didn't want to put myself in that situation. He actually delivered the case file to her where we have all of this information, interviews, evidence from everyone else. He gave her a marching orders, and that was that. So I didn't put myself in any danger there by making a rash decision by just coming out and sacking her on the spot or put it in a situation where I could have, it could have been her word versus mine.
And you're right. If you had have just reacted immediately when you assumed that it was someone who had done this, or it might have been someone incorrectly. So going back to the start of the story, it could have been a situation where you based a decision on emotion, where you might have fired someone who was actually not the root cause of the problem, or you took a irrational action on the business, which might not have been justified. And so by taking that 24 hours out, you actually got to exactly your analogy of where there's smoke, there's fire, where you actually found the root cause of the issue because you removed all your emotions from it. You took your analytical skills and you actually evaluated, every single person in the business to find out, okay, well, these people are all reacting based off this one individual.
Yeah, before I knew about all the problems, I was actually looking at other people, like other managers and things like that, and I'm glad I actually settled things down and actually found the culprit because, you know, it could have been absolute chaos because I could have been up with, you know, a few lawsuits on my hands. So the great thing about all of this is I went through it all. I got a new assistant, okay, out of this. So she got a marching orders. She wasn't right for our company. That's great. She can go away and do her own thing. I'm going to get someone else who wants to work with us, someone that's going to be trustworthy. She was awesome. She got on great with everyone. She was cheaper, and she was more competent in the area. So sure, it was an inconvenience to go through all of this, but it could have been a lot worse if I did it in the wrong way. So if I flew off the handle and sacked her on the spot like my emotions told me to, and trust me, I just wanted her out of my face as soon as possible, she could have had grounds for unfair dismissal. That would have cost me a lot of money. It would have cost me a lot of time. It would have really hurt our culture. And it could have given other staff members the idea that they could do the same by pressing my buttons and, you know, coming up with ways to be able to get money out of me as well and extort me as well.
Yeah, it really sets that precedence for everyone else to basically open the floodgates on it, where they say this person did nothing but come in for 1, 2, 3, 6 months and raise hell or create a whole heap of turmoil, and here she is having a decent payday, and that was all created by her and fabricated by her. So it is actually this great outcome based on removing your emotions from a decision and using the 6 steps we're walking through in our emotionless decision-making framework to basically get down to the root cause and resolve it in the best possible manner available.
Yeah, and once again, with those emotions running high, it's really hard to just stop and think because, you know, you just want to strangle that person. So we all go through it. I mean, emotions come into every decision of our life all the time, and sometimes it's just a matter of just stopping, thinking, getting a cool, calm and collective, and just moving on from there. So look, I know you've probably been through one of these yourself. When's the time when you had to apply the emotionless decision-making framework into an area of your personal or business life?
Yeah, look, what I don't want to jump on into something similar where it was like a threatening on culture or business. So what I will do is I'll run through a story that was, yeah, that I've had and a mentor that sort of coached me through a couple of other scenarios, but what most people can relate to, right? So a quote that I'll take with me to the grave that was mentioned by one of my mentors was, play the ball and not the man, right? So a lot of people and a lot of customers and a lot of employees play the man or play the individual, where they get upset at one person rather than the situation itself, which might, in your situation, it was not so much them playing against you as opposed to them looking at the better outcome for themselves or feeling like they don't have something fair. So you could have gone and played against them individually, or you could have played the situation, which is exactly what you did. Basically, I've got a lot of people who are close to me and they've seen me manage a lot of situations, and everyone always says that my personal life always mixes in with my business life because I take every conversation at this emotion level as a business transaction, where I just look at analytics and data rather than, oh, I feel this way.
So the Iceman.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So people say that I'm typically heartless or I'm emotionless. However, it's more, I do have an emotion to a situation. I just don't show it to anybody else because before I react, I always try and think about the outcome that I'm going for. What I want to walk through is probably an e-commerce support story, which most people will be able to relate to, whether it's a service-based business or a product-based business, and just walk through a scenario, probably 4 years ago, where a customer had a broken product, and they were extremely irate and starting to take personal attacks at me as I was fielding the phone call. Step one was started feeling emotions. Basically, I followed and worked through our phone script, and then I started sensing the customer who was getting really upset at me, not the situation, started saying it was my fault, as well as that I'm the worst customer support that they've ever had. Basically, my internal feelings, which I didn't represent or act on, was basically to find every reason that this situation was their fault. I basically just wanted to hang up on them and just really not help them, because they were just putting everything on me and saying it was all my fault. So my barrier wanted to basically go straight up. So the first thing I saw was I saw those emotions coming in, and I'm like, this is just not me. Moving into the second step, I basically just took a break. So I stepped back from the situation. I said to them, look, I can't make an approval on this and I have to go to management, which is a fabricated excuse because I was the decision maker on it. However, it was a great way for me to get out of that situation. So I could have outlined that I needed to check dispatch details or get insights from another individual, but it was the way that I was able to step back And then I just said to them, look, I'll get back to you in 30 minutes or an hour's time. Just let me get to the bottom of this.
I think that's awesome, because whenever you're in a conflict resolution type area, there's no law that says you have to respond right away. There's no law to say you have to be on the phone to them. There's no law that says you got an email and you have to send it back straight away. It's not a law, so you can take your time, be able to cool off and let, you know, cooler heads prevail.
And that's exactly right. And so by also giving them a timeline, they also know when you're going to get back to them. So you can't just say, hey, look, I'm going to figure this out. By outlining, I'm going to figure this out and get back to you in 24 hours or in an hour, it allows them to relax and say, you know what, they've made a commitment to when they're going to get back to me. It's just not an open-ended. So then straight after I got off the call, I went and grabbed a coffee and just took a quick break to calm myself down. After my coffee, moved into sort of step three, which was stepping back and really evaluating it from a business perspective. So I could see from the customer's perspective that basically they wouldn't just grab a random person on the street and scream at them, or 99.9% of people wouldn't. They're probably thinking more about themselves than anybody else in the way that they were reacting to me. And I was trying to put myself in their shoes going, okay, well, maybe they've had their partner crash their car. Maybe they were fired from their job. Look, maybe the broken product was actually for a birthday present. So outside of them just wanting to be angry at somebody, there's probably a bigger perspective or a bigger element that they were getting upset at. But then from a business perspective, I had to look at what our core values are in our business and what we hold true to. So it was that every customer has a great experience. We have the potential to get a testimonial from every single customer, and we resolve every situation without trying to not provide a refund or have any cash impact to us. So we looked at all of them and said, okay, these are the outcomes that we need to go with, and this is a perspective from the customer. The next step was me to look at the metrics. I checked to see if it was my fault or the team's fault or issue. I looked at, could the courier have damaged it when it was during shipping? Did it leave the warehouse damaged? Could it have been manufactured damaged? And then I looked at the metrics from a customer. Did they install it incorrectly? Did they mishandle it, etc.? We went and requested some photos of the product from the customer just to say for us to help evaluating it. And then we reviewed the information that we had from them, the confirmations they had provided us. So then the next step was we closely researched all of our decisions at play. So we knew that it was something that was damaged. We suspected it was either damaged when they tried to put it together or in a courier, but we needed to look at the outcome from a future consequence. So if we just say to this guy, no, it's your problem, you've got to try and fix it. Obviously, he's probably going to leave a bad review. He's not going to recommend us to his friends, which means the lifetime value of that customer is actually gone. So we evaluated a couple of options, which was giving them a $50 replacement of the product. So the piece that was broken was about $50 to replace and ship it out to them to build up some goodwill and make more sales. So we lose a little bit of money, but we make more in the long run. Is it worth it, us just not giving them a replacement and getting that negative review? Or do we just refund the whole thing and just claim it back on travel insurance, like transport insurance? Basically, we sought final advice from one of my managers who had had a lot of these situations before. I could have asked another employee or gone to a lawyer to see how protected we were if we didn't give them a refund. And the final point was basically we made a decision and communicated it clearly and concisely to the customer. Walking in there, we knew that we were going to give them $50 replacement part. We just knew that the profit that we made on the product, we were actually still going to make profit out of it and they were going to have a good experience. When we picked up the phone, the customer still wanted a bit more of a refund. We didn't change from the plan that we made because we had evaluated all the metrics before, ignored most of the pressure they were providing and said, look, this is what we've had. We can go back and evaluate it more. But if you don't take it now, I don't know what the next situation is going to be. We didn't retaliate as the customer was still upset when we first called them back, still saying it was my fault. And once they vented through and evaluated what we were providing and the reasons behind it, they essentially came back and accepted it and said, you know what, that's a fair middle ground.
That is awesome. I think that whole framework, that whole story, I think it ties in really well. I think the fact that I always come back to just taking some time off, just clear your head. You know, when we're in conflict situations, people are just going to press your buttons to get a reaction. So, you know, you see it with kids, do it to parents, lovers do it to their partners, staff do it to their bosses, clients do it to their staff, and not reacting and flying off the handle is just so important.
That's exactly. So true. It's so true.
Beautiful. So that comes to the end of it. Do you just want to go for a quick wrap up on the points of the framework for removing emotions from decisions and go through the summary for today's show?
Yeah, look, so no problems at running through it. There's the 6 points to the More Time, More Profit emotionless decision-making framework. First point is you feel a sense of the emotions or your typical being changing, right? So you're feeling rage, you're not being yourself, and you're not thinking clearly. And we've all had situations like that. Step two, is when you feel that, you take a break. So stop and breathe, put the customer, employee, etc. on a bit of a hold, stop what you're doing and just regather yourself. Step three is you step back from the situation and look at it from a business perspective, evaluate the individuals, clients, employees, etc. and basically just try and think at their level as well as at the business level. Step four is you evaluate your data, your metrics and your analytics. What's the impact of the outcomes? What's the probability they're going to occur? And what has caused this situation? Step five is closely research every decision from there. So if I do this, what's the outcome going to be? If I do this, does it align to our core values, etc.? Who do I need to go and see to assist in these decisions? Managers, employees, mentors, consultants, etc. And the final part is just to communicate clearly and concisely the decision or the solution that you're going to provide to that individual. Don't just provide an answer, always provide a solution with backed up evidence of how you got to that.
Just remember, with most of our frameworks, you can apply this to your personal or business life. So anytime you just feel those emotions start to rise, rip out the framework, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/009 and you'll be able to download all the wrap-up points.
Yeah, we also have the examples that Adam and I just ran through available for download, so you can walk through and even give them as training documents to your team members so that they don't walk through the exact same decisions based on emotions that typical businesses and people walk through. You can set it as a baseline and set it as a system that they can just implement. And by reading through the examples or even listening to the examples, they can relate to it very easily.
And if you have any questions surrounding this episode, you catch us on Facebook/moretimemoreprofit. And you can give us suggestions for future episodes. You can ask us questions on past episodes.
And don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click the subscribe button, as well as give us a review. Basically, give us some feedback of what you think about what episodes you'd also like us to cover in the future. And give us a good sense of how we're going.
And we'll catch you the same bat time, same bat channel next week.
See you then, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.